Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, the White House has said that it supports Israel's decision to delay releasing 600 Palestinian prisoners, citing the barbaric treatment of Israeli hostages by Hamas. Earlier, Hamas condemned Israel's decision to postpone the release of the prisoners and detainees, saying its claim that the hostages' handover ceremonies are humiliating was false and a pretext to evade Israel's obligations under the Gaza ceasefire agreement. Well, Oliver McTernan is mediator and founder of Forward Thinking, which is a charitable organisation addressing the Middle East peace process, and he joins us now. And Oliver, you're very welcome. It was always fragile, wasn't it, this truce and this ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, but it's at a particularly fragile point at this moment. What's your assessment about this decision by Israel to delay releasing hostages?
Well, I think, Sarah, your use of the word fragile is very correct. My fear is that the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is actually looking for an excuse to break the ceasefire. Right from the beginning, he has been very clear that his major objective was to see the total demise of Hamas, and then he added on the return of the hostages. Well, my fear is that this latest situation is actually to create those circumstances which the blame can go on Hamas for breaking the ceasefire. I hope I'm wrong, but I fear that is the reality.
I mentioned that Israel is claiming the hostage handover ceremonies are humiliating. That's one of the reasons that they're postponing the release of prisoners and detainees. We have, I think, most of us seen those handover ceremonies, and particularly the one involving Shiri Bibas and her two sons, although as it turned out, it wasn't Shiri Bibas in what appears to have been a mistake. And also the other ceremonies, they are very elaborate. They're very upsetting, I know, for the Israeli families. Is there anything to that claim, do you think, that Israel is making?
Yeah, I think the displays that we've witnessed on this occasion, you know, during this ceasefire and the handovers, have been extremely, I think, distasteful and, in my opinion, regrettable. But Sarah, I compare it with the handovers in November 2023, you know, when we had the first ceasefire. Those were much more humane, discreet affairs, took place at night. There was a nice human aspect to it where you saw the elderly ladies saying goodbye to the captives and so forth. I think what we're witnessing now is a display of defiance, that we've had 15 months of relentless bombing. And it's a message, I think, that Hamas are sending, saying, sorry, intimidation, military, you know, threats and military action only stiffens resistance. And I fear that's what we're seeing, that people who have withstood this 15 months of bombing are now displaying their determination and the resilience to resist, and is regrettable.
Mm. And of course, it could, as you know, again, we don't know exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu's true aims are here, but he has always said one of his war objectives is to destroy Hamas. So does it make it more difficult then for him to claim victory, total victory, which is what he said he was going to get, when you see these displays of defiance?
Yes, it does. And I think, you know, even this week we've heard elements in his government saying that they would topple him if he didn't go back to war when the hostage exchange was ended. Well, that isn't conducive to good negotiations and successful outcomes. It's all the time threat. And I really think that part of the problem is that his political survival depends on the ongoing war. Now, I think the White House remarks haven't been helpful. The talk about the barbaric treatment of the Israeli hostages and the big ceremonies, I think, you know, justify in some way that. But they don't refer to the treatment of the Palestinian hostages and our prisoners and the many people taken from Gaza. Mm. The images we see and the pictures we see of what happened to them is equally barbaric. And I wish the White House would seem to be more neutral in this situation and a true mediator, as it were, rather than like the Biden administration. It seems there is no red lines between America and Israel on this matter.
Yeah, and indeed, I think it's quite clear the White House is not neutral at all. They are backing Israel to the hilt. And as I said, they're saying they will support Israel's decision really in whatever they want to do. Marco Rubio warning that Hamas will be, quote, destroyed if it did not release all the remaining hostages. So where do you see this part? I want to talk to you about the West Bank in a second, but in relation to Gaza, where do you see this going next?
Well, Gaza has been described as a hellhole. I think what the people have suffered there is just incredible. I'm here in Cairo at present, and Forward Thinking has just organized a conference with the Arab League, looking at the immediate needs of the people of Gaza now as a result of the last 15 months of bombing. And we've been looking at the economic, the medical, educational and legal needs, what we would call the need to restore the social fabric if you're not going to have involuntary migration. I fear if another, if the war resumes, then we will see desperate people, even though the Gazans are extremely resilient, but desperate people being forced against their will to seek life and shelter elsewhere, particularly if they have young families. And that'll be disastrous. It'll mean that the cycle of violence, it's 77 years now, this cycle of violence has been going on. It will just continue. And what's lacking at the moment is, I think, Rubio talking about things that he really doesn't grasp or understand. And what's lacking is, I think, a combination of a level of ignorance that's inexcusable, that's shaping policy, and secondly, the lack of political will and political courage to do what's needed, and that simply ensured that occupation is ended and we have the establishment of a Palestinian state.
Well, of course, Israel would say they don't like, but they're quite happy, I think. Well, I'm not sure they'll say that at this point, but they would have said it at some point in the past that they didn't want to be occupying the Gaza Strip. But now they're saying they need to protect themselves from a security perspective. So again, I suppose go on, yes.
Israel never gave up the occupation of Gaza. I've been going there since 2004 on a regular basis. Gaza was always occupied, and and that was internationally recognized. You can say, well, we've removed our troops, but if you create an open prison, as it were, you can't say that it's unoccupied. Gaza's never really had an opportunity. And let's face it, Gaza is just part of the internationally recognized Palestinian territories, which include East Jerusalem and the West Bank. So if you don't have some sort of interaction and governance and, you know, combined and united, you're still a victim of occupation. And I just wish that Gaza gets a lot of attention and Palestine gets a lot of attention when we have violence. And then when that violence subsides, people forget it until the next outbreak. What we really need now is an international determination to solve this problem. And it is solvable. Those who say it's intractable, it's just an excuse not to get involved. It is solvable if there's the political will.
Well, I suppose the political will that matters in terms of power is going in the other direction, isn't it, in terms of what we're seeing from the US and what Donald Trump has said.
It seems that way, Sarah, but my hope, and I may be totally misreading this, is that Trump is transactional. What he's playing now is giving support to Netanyahu because at the end of the day, he wants normalization because that'll bring big bucks, you know, that if he can create normalization, then there's an opening that will benefit economically America, because it'll mean great deals between Saudi Arabia and Israel and the other countries. Now, if Saudi Arabia stand firm on what they say, that they will only normalize if there is establishment of a Palestinian state, I think we could see actually a significant shift in the other direction from what it appears to be going at present.
Can I ask you finally about the West Bank, because you're clinging on to that hope, Oliver, and I hope is important, but what we're seeing in the last couple of days, Israel sending tanks into the occupied West Bank for the first time in more than 20 years. It's ordered the military to prepare for an extended stay, quote, to fight Palestinian militant groups in the area's refugee camps. I know that there were concerns among Israelis about bombs on buses, and this, they're saying, is a reaction to that, but they've moved Palestinians out of their homes in the West Bank. There's concerns it could turn into another intifada. Again, all moves in the wrong direction when you're talking about peace.
I totally, the signs are that Israel currently, or when we say Israel, I think we should say the Netanyahu government, it's intending to annex at least part of the West Bank. Now, you recall Trump said, oh, I'll make a decision on annexation in a month's time. That was about 2 weeks ago. My fear is that what's happening in the Ukraine, where he's almost endorsing Putin taking land by force and then annexing it, that if we look at it one level, it could be that's what's going to happen in the West Bank. But again, my hope is that if Israel really wants the security it has a right to and it deserves, it has to realize it will never get it. It's tried to get it through 70 years of, or 77 years actually, of military containment and military aggression. It doesn't achieve it. It'll only get it through this end of occupation and the establishment of a real Palestinian state with self-determination of its people. That's the only way that will guarantee its security. And I hope that the Trump administration will see that before we see the unnecessary loss of more human lives.
Oliver, it's very interesting to speak to you, and thank you for joining us on the programme this evening. That is Oliver McTernan, who's mediator and founder of Forward Thinking.